John Davidson is a veteran of Broadway's Wicked and State Fair, as well as television's Hollywood Squares and That's Incredible. He's currently starring in Finding Neverland in the role of Charles Frohman and Captain James Hook, which is playing through Sunday at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady. Based on the Academy Award-winning film by David McGee and the play The Man Who Was Peter King by Alan Nee, Finding Neverland follows the relationship between playwright J.M. Barrie and the family that inspired Peter Pan, or The Boy Who Wouldn't Grow Up, one of the most beloved stories of all time. It is a great pleasure to welcome John Davidson to the roundtable this morning. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Joe. I haven't seen you since one time at Tanglewood, you remember, years ago.
That's right. You used to be a Lennoxonian. I don't know. Or a Lennoxon? I don't know. However that goes.
Lennoxus. I don't know.
Yeah. And so it's nice to have you back in the region.
Thank you for having me back. I'm having the time of my life. This is a 45-week tour. I'm going to be 75 next week.
Yeah.
And I feel every moment of those 70. Excuse me, did I say 75? I'm 75 now. I'm going to be 76, and that's almost 80. I mean, why am I still working? But I'll tell you why. Because Finding Neverland is a magical show, and this is the role, my best role I've ever had.
Let me just go back a little bit to your career and then let us talk about how you got this show. But the thing that I have always found interesting about you is that you have, in my life and growing up, you have been a wonderful host. You hosted your own show. You had the John Davidson Show, which I believe came after the Mike Douglas Show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? You did that show for a few years. And then That's Incredible and, of course, Hollywood Squares. But you always, when you went on shows and you hosted, my God, how many times did you host The Tonight Show?
I think 80 times, something like
yeah.
that. I was the that's more than any other singer because I sang that opening instead of told jokes.
So that you had that background as a singer, mm-hmm. and I hope you don't take any offense by this, but there isn't like a John Davidson hit, is there?
No.
So that's what's so fascinating about it to me.
Well, I started on Broadway playing Curly in Oklahoma. It was an Oklahoma revival at the City Center on Broadway. And so I didn't come up, as singers do, figuring out who you are and then going into a studio and putting that on records. I'm not a song stylist. I've had 12 albums, had a lot of records, but I started by playing different roles. The role of John Davidson is something I've worked at to try to figure out which parts of me to be John Davidson. I think everybody does that. I think you do it, Joe, as a
sure.
radio host. You
yeah.
got to figure out, because some parts of you we don't want to know about.
That's right. You bring the best
you
part of yourself.
You can tell me later. But,
I'm sure you already know. but it's true. And you come and you present that to the people. But part of that John Davidson role, at least to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, was a nice, affable, I believe People mm-hmm. Magazine even referred to you as a dimpled darling.
Thank you so much for knowing that. I found, maybe because the way I looked or because I came from a very conservative family and I was very wholesome and clean and like a washing machine, and I found that positiveness and using my smile, I probably have used my smile too much and the dimples are creases now, but I probably have used that over the years to advance my career. You know, what the heck? I mean, you use what you have. I don't look like Al Pacino or Robert De Niro. I look like a Mormon missionary, even though I'm not religious at all. I'm an atheist. But I've evolved from being this wholesome. My dad was a preacher. I mean, I came from my mom was an ordained minister as well. I've evolved over the years. And wrestled with religion all my life, and now I'm very, very progressive, and I'm a liberal, and I'm non-religious. But how did I get into all that? My point is that has prepared me to play a villain like Captain Hook in Finding Neverland, or to be something more than just that television host that you might have seen years ago.
Right. Now, were you comfortable in that role as John Davidson, or were you always aching to get out to say, oh, I want to do something else?
No, that's what I was. I was comfortable in that. It wasn't a hoax. I think I've just followed. And I think there have been times when friends or family or I have held myself back of saying, you know, these are the perimeters. This is what works for me. Don't be negative. And I still am positive things work best for me. But that's what I was. But over the years, it's just developed into other things. And I think that's helped my onstage presentations in Broadway shows.
Okay. So the latest is Finding Neverland. Mm-hmm. And you get to, as you say, you play two roles. But you get to play Captain Hook, which just seems like a lot of fun.
I play two roles in the show. One is Charles Frohman, who produces the show, and one is Captain Hook. Charles Frohman is trying to talk J.M. Barrie out of writing Peter Pan. He's saying, a play for children? Are you kidding? We don't want children in the theater. It's too bawdy. It's too sexy. It's too shocking. So, and besides, Frohman says, children don't have any money. What are you writing a show for children? It's ridiculous.
They don't
buy any tickets. They buy ice cream. They don't even buy their own ice cream. You know what? Adults buy things, so don't do this. Now, when I play Captain Hook, I'm trying to talk J.M. Barrie into finding the child within himself, fight to write your own story. And that's great advice for everyone. But I kind of go crazy as Captain Hook. I chew up the scenery. I love playing bombastic people on stage. I don't think I could play a wallflower, or someone who was shy. I mean, it wouldn't be theatrical. I love over-the-top kind of characters, and both of these characters are that, and they seem to want me to do that, and so I'm having a ball.
Yeah. When you do, I saw the show on Broadway originally with Matthew Morrison and Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, well, I love the movie, and it's a beautiful show. The music is lovely.
Well, we sometimes get criticized, and I think we get criticized by theatrical buffs who want it to be Sondheim or Rodgers and Hammerstein. No. Finding Neverland is British popular music. It's very poppy, and I love the music. There's a hit record in every scene. It's very singable. You remember these melodies, but it is not Sondheim. It's not Rodgers. It's very, very theatrical. And very funny, and also very sad. Makes people laugh, makes people cry. It's a powerful but magical show.
And much like you were saying of your character a moment ago, of what a wonderful way to bring kids into the theater.
Yes, we have four live boys in the show. Actually, we have six shows, but there are six boys, but they play four different characters. We have a dog. We have a live dog. We have an understudy for the live dog.
So right there, you're going against the two roles of show business. Don't kids or animals.
That's right. And then we have a guy in a dog suit and an understudy for the guy in a dog suit.
So, that's the third rule of show business.
Yeah, never put a person in a dog suit. We do a little bit of Peter Pan later. There was a little bit of flying in the show, but it's not about the flying the way Peter Pan was. It's more about creativity and how you find within yourself those creative juices to do anything, to open a shoe store, to start a radio station, to be a carpenter, whatever. Where does the creativity come from? That's the inspiration of Finding Neverland.
When you do this, you're doing this for several weeks and months. 45 weeks. So almost a year, and you're through. Through the almost spring of next year. So when you look at it in the sense of, well, this is my opportunity to see the country. You've done these tours before. That is something that is appealing.
Yes, I drive the tour.
Really?
When I did Wicked, I actually had a motorhome, had a 37-foot, two bedroom, two bathroom motorhome that I drove myself. My wife went with me. At that time, we had our cat. Now we have our dog. We sold the motorhome, and we stay in residence inns around the country because they accept animals, and they're a great chain. My wife likes to travel. Now, it's not every guy that can say that. Matter of fact, my first wife didn't like to travel, and we gradually grew apart because I'm a gypsy. If you marry someone in show business, you have to be willing to travel. And so my wife and I are together, and matter of fact, we homeschooled our daughter and got her ready for ninth grade. We're very proud of that, and we homeschooled her for 7 years. Yeah.
So the idea of going out there and playing these dual roles, and again, I don't want to get overly psychological here. However, playing the villain, right? That's got to be fun, especially for our dimpled darling, John Davidson.
Well, you find parts of yourself that that are maybe not villainous, but that are politically incorrect. I mean, Hook is obnoxious. He's egotistical. He's gross. All these things that I am, but I've never shown that in a character. So it's more fun than I've ever had playing a role. I think a little bit of Thénardier in Les Mis. I don't know how well people might know Les Mis,
yes.
But the guy who owns the bar,
right?
He and his wife who steal the silverware. That Thénardier is big and gross like this, and so I think of that character a little bit. I think of Jack Nicholson sometimes. I think of going back to who was the original Captain Hook when Mary Martin did it on Broadway, and Cyril Richard.
Cyril Richard, that's right.
I think of that. It's a little foppish, you know. It's a little feminine, and it's really fun. But he does have the great message that a man who's not willing to fight for what he wants deserves what he gets.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back to being what everyone expects you to be. Maybe your parents expect you to be a doctor, lawyer, whatever. And maybe they expect you to marry this or that type of person, whatever. But you need to find out who. It's self-discovery. And to follow your dreams. And it's that wonderful message told in a very unique way.
Can I ask you about That's Incredible?
Of course.
Okay, let me ask you about this show. I find the show fascinating. I grew up with it. I loved it. And the thing that fascinates me about this show is that it was really reality TV before there was reality TV.
Very beginning.
You the three of you,
Fran Tarkington, Kathy Lee Crosby,
and you.
Yep.
And the three of you would each do your thing, and just amazing stories. But it was almost newsy too. There were strange. There were things about. I remember vividly a piece because it still gives me nightmares about spontaneous combustion. But there, you would do things on that, and then you would do things that really were very provocative and interesting.
Yes, I was very proud of That's Incredible, especially That's Incredible. I think its greatest mission was to celebrate human triumph over mental and physical obstacles. Now we were at our best, and we showed the latest scientific discoveries. We incredibly talented people. We had Tiger Woods on with his father when Tiger Woods was four or five years old.
Remember seeing that tape? Yeah, that's right.
Amazing, incredible stories. But we were at our weakest, I think, when we dealt with psychic phenomenon, UFOs landing, ghosts, these products of human imagination. I'm a realist, and I think to deal in superstition and fake news didn't serve anything very well. So I was not proud of those segments. We should have said these people are magicians. When yeah. a guy, I mean, people bending spoons like is it Uri Geller that used to
right.
bend? Well, all the and psychic phenomenon people that were just hoaxes. There's never been UFOs that landed here. Come on. And ghosts are a product of human imagination. So I was sorry that we didn't say a disclaimer saying, you know, this is not real. I think we need to figure out as human beings what is real. And it's very hard because there's so many mysteries of life. But we need to keep trying to figure out what is real.
Let me ask you this. So as we wrap up, when you look at your career, what are you proud of?
I'm most proud, I think, of my live performances. This sounds funny to say, to bring up Las Vegas, and what are you to be proud of a loss? But I've done some shows in Las Vegas that I really, just the pacing of them, the way I did the show, I'm very proud of. A couple of things on stage. I'm very proud. I'm proud of what I'm doing right now in Finding Neverland. I think I've done some of my best performances. But it's been live theater. Film, I made some Disney musicals that they weren't as thrilling. Film is a director's medium, I think. But live performances. I guess I'm proud of my kids. I have three kids and six grandchildren. And I think they've somehow turned out just wonderfully. and they're having great lives.
Well, I think probably you and your wife had a lot to do with that, don't you?
But I probably screwed them up a lot because of all my thinking about what does it all mean. I keep saying, what does it all mean? What is this mystery of life?
Well, I wish you all the best on the road. I wish you all the best in that search and that discovery.
Yes.
And I thank you very much for being. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks, Joe.
A great pleasure. John Davidson stars in Finding Neverland at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady through Sunday. Proctors.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.